It hadn't been her best decision. And that was saying something, considering some of the not-so-great decisions she'd made, including getting pregnant by a guy she now acknowledged she'd known in her bones wasn't the guy for her, including heading as far away as possible from her family in Gloucester, Massachusetts. Every last one of them would have rallied around her, which was precisely why she'd gone to Port Orchard, Washington. She'd gotten into this on her own. She needed to handle it on her own. Valerie Tremarco, woman in charge. Right. Although she had done okay in Port Orchard these past months, she'd supported herself, made some good friends, had everything arranged for the birth. Every detail lined up and ready to go. Right up until this overwhelming need to have the baby in Gloucester, to be home, swamped every island of sense she possessed. All thoughts of handling things on her own or even with the help of her friends disappeared. All she could think of was getting home. Home. So she'd packed her car and headed for Massachusetts. That still wasn't such an awful decision. After all, the airlines limited flying this close to the due date. Besides, she liked driving alone, and her car was reliable and sturdy. However, even reliable and sturdy cars eventually run out of gas if they're kept running. Running the engine for brief periods of warmth had seemed reasonable once the car got stuck in the snow-clogged ditch. Of course, it wouldn't have gotten stuck if she hadn't had to swerve to avoid that cow when she came around the curve in the road. On the other hand, she wouldn't have been on this cow-infested road if she hadn't had to keep changing her route because of the snowstorm sweeping down from the northwest. From the last report she'd heard, I-94 should be closed right about now. So she'd made the right decision to take I-90 out of Billings, even though it had soon become clear the storm would hit her before she got far enough east to get ahead of it. She'd adjusted again, planning to reach Buffalo, Wyoming, then swing south by way of I-25 to connect with I-80, which also ran east-west, but she hoped far enough south to miss the storm. That was not to be either. She'd caught a radio report about a backup before Buffalo from an accident that had spread lumber across the highway. By the time it could be cleaned up, the storm would have arrived and no one would be going anywhere. So she'd created her own detour, taking a road south. When it ran out, she turned east. That road gave up too, so she picked up another heading south and did another east-south combo before she reached this one. She'd been heading east a while, so she really should have reached I-25, if it hadn't been for that cow and the ditch. Her phone repeatedly reported no service. Pushing was out of the question, considering her condition, but she'd tried rocking the car out of the ditch like the trained-to-drive-in-snow New Englander she was. Alas, no amount of rocking helped when the nose of your station wagon was sucking in mud and snow. Then the wind picked up, blowing around curtains of snow. Not light and airy shears, either. More like heavy velvet. This was not good. A sound and a shadow. Later, she never could remember which caught her attention first, jerked her head toward the window of the driver's door. It looked like a brown blanket hanging beside the window with... was that a boot? Another sound came, this one like a voice, though she couldn't make out words. Then, at the very top of the field of vision allowed by the window, she saw a pair of eyes. She blinked, then squinted, finally making sense of what she was seeing. It was a man on a horseback. He'd bent nearly double, apparently, to look into the window. He had a scarf muffling the lower part of his face and the top part covered by a cowboy hat secured with a second scarf tied around it, leaving only the eyes.